D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
It is trifecta time on this Wednesday, as we will do on you. Time to remember those who have recently passed away by taking a moment to consider how much they mattered and whether they have the credentials to gain a room in a three-bedroom apartment in the sky.
Lando, do you know where we're at?
We are trying to close out room 504, occupied by Brian Wilson and Sly Stone.
So a very, very music-heavy, music legend-heavy an apartment that we have, and we'll try to have another celebrity, this one on the television and innovation side, as we work to induct Phil Robertson. And I believe you can play music while we're doing this. It seems more fun when we have a little music behind us, too, in the trifecta. Craig, Craig. So Phil Robertson, the hunter, businessman, and TV personality that I didn't, I guess, realize, because I didn't watch the show. I know Dave was a big P1 of Duck Dynasty.
Love Duck Dynasty.
But he went to Louisiana Tech University after growing up in small town Louisiana, Vivian, Louisiana. And I guess he was born in 1946. And according to reports, they had no electricity, no toilet or bathtub. They had nothing growing up. But he was a really, really good athlete. All-state in football, baseball, and track. Now, this would have been in the, mid-60s, I do believe. He was born in 46. And he got a scholarship to play football at Louisiana Tech in Ruston. And he was the first-string quarterback for Louisiana Tech until Terry Bradshaw got there. Did y'all know that?
He might have even kept Bradshaw on the bench for a little while.
Yeah, I think so. And he played a couple of years as a starter. He chose not to play, I guess, his senior year when Bradshaw really started to flourish, I guess. But
it literally, Bradshaw's quote is literally, "Phil loved hunting more than he loved football."
God.
"He come to practice directly from the woods, squirrel tails hanging out of his pockets, duck feathers on his clothes. Clearly, he was a fine shot, so no one complained too much."
So, here's a...
Okay. One more point of clarification about his quarterback play.
That's what I was getting ready to read.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
It was tough sledding for him. He threw for 2,200 yards with 12 touchdowns, Dave. But do you think that his OC had a problem with his touchdown to interception ratio, as he was 12 touchdowns and 34 interceptions?
Well, it was a different time.
It was.
Yes, and now we'll go to the suspicious sentence on his page, on his biography, all right? Ready for, I'd like to see this verified and fact-checked. "When approached to play professionally for the Washington Redskins." Now, this is after 12 touchdowns, 34 interceptions, and opting out of the 1968 season because of, quote, "a love for hunting."
Mm-hmm.
"He declined to play professional football because it would conflict with his hunting."
Would you like to find that former Redskins operative that had that conversation with him?
I would like to verify that anyone from the pros was chasing a guy who threw three interceptions for every touchdown.
Exactly.
As somebody we've got to get here into camp, because he can really push Sonny Jurgensen and Billy Kilmer out of the way. Probably don't have my timeline right there, but who cares?
Although, with the salaries that they were making at the time, hunting might actually be more lucrative.
Well,
although, better than you.
True.
Better than all of us who have been contacted by an NFL scout.
But if any of the three of us went back in time to 1960, we totally could have started for Louisiana Tech.
I think so. I think I would have won the Heisman.
I think Bradshaw would have beat me out.
So this began the hunting career, and he was running a hunting outfit He was a big fisherman. He lived apparently in squalor as he was perfecting the craft of hunting, and he hated the old duck calls that were around. And so he starts to work on making his own duck call that would perfect the sound of other ducks.
Thus the name.
Yes. And he invented his first duck commander call in the early 70s, got a patent for it, and then boom, it took off. And that family went from squalor to the penthouse pretty quickly.
Indoor plumbing, guys.
I mean, they had everything that you could possibly want. And the thing I can't figure out is who approached him. You know, A&E ends up signing a deal with him, but whose idea was it to do Duck Dynasty?
Had to have been his kids. Because they grew out, they were like his kids, they were like frat bros, preppy kids, but then they grew out the beards and took on the persona of their dad.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So they were just normal, wealthy kids.
Yeah.
And then
they were like, we need to lean into this, you know, Duck Commander ethos. And I'm sure that is what got them the show.
Well, it was, as everyone knows, beyond popular. Just to put it in perspective, the fourth season premiere drew almost 12 million viewers, which is on par with the Sopranos finale, by the way, and not too far from the same year. It was the most watched nonfiction cable series in history at that time. And it was the highest rated show on A&E. The show was making nearly $100 million a year in advertising sales. They had another deal merch-wise that, you know, this sounds Star Warsian, was making $400 million in revenue. And that's over time, but still, $400 million in revenue. The thing ran for 11 seasons. Again, multiple seasons every year, I think, is kind of what it was. But look, it was part of the pop culture ethos at the time.
You couldn't get away from it.
I didn't watch the show. I wasn't...
You couldn't get away from it, yet every one of us did.
Well, you were aware of it.
Yeah.
It was like the Kardashians.
It was part of the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we couldn't get it. None of us watched the Kardashians, but it certainly is something that we're all acutely familiar with.
Or Paris and Nicole, or all the other reality TV freight trains of that weird time. I think it's over, right?
No,
it's not. I'm sorry. No.
It's bigger than ever.
Feel like Love Island has...
Oh, my God. And all the Southern Charm and all those shows.
Yeah,
and...
bad point by me.
Yeah.
I'll take that back.
And what was the show?
Why don't you go to BravoCon report back?
Nico won't be fired, too. Taking L's.
What's the West Coast show that with the waiters and the...
Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump, yeah. It ain't going anywhere. People, you know why? Because there's always women. But in this show... I think this is a really unique show. Because it probably was, I don't know if it was even split down the middle. This had to be a male-dominated show, right?
You would think. But it was on TLC? Is that what
A&E.
It was on?
A&E.
A&E. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It did really, really well, and it, you know, again, made household names out of all these people over time, and they still are. So we have a couple of cuts to play. The first one is with Cuspices. This is with Terry Bradshaw talking with Phil. Is this about their time at Louisiana Tech?
Yes, they reunited.
Okay.
This is my first return trip to Louisiana Tech, literally since I saw you in the locker room saying, go be an NFL star, I'm going after the Ducks.
Why did you leave? Why did you not come back?
You had something that I did not have. You had the desire to excel in the game of football, and I really had the passion for the old Mallard Ducks.
See,
you know?
Before, I used to tell everybody, there was a guy named Phil Robinson. Guy had as quick a release as Joe Namath. I still remember this. He always wore Levi jeans and a t-shirt, and on that was either duck feathers, guts from a squirrel, blood from some varmint somewhere, and you were always talking about, you're talking real fast. Well, yeah, yeah, blonde bomber, what them, the ducks are flying. Them, we got to, how long did, we got the ducks are flying, get this.
Which proves the point, Bradshaw. Exactly. A man will do a lot for a duck. Ducks are doing great.
Phil, you're doing great.
Hey, Bradshaw, good to see you, man.
Happy, happy, happy. Hey.
Can you imagine, though, back in that day, those two hayseeds?
Oh, my God. How country were they back in those days?
Oh, my God. And, you know, one is going to go on to be one of the greatest players in the history of the sport and win four Super Bowls. And this other one is backup or whatever. The guy that was starting in front of him for a time would end up being one of the biggest TV stars of his generation. It's crazy. And be a millionaire with a duck call company. So there is not without controversy. As there was a GQ article that came out where he was talking about some of his beliefs. And this is the newscast, or one of the newscasts, that was reporting on the article.
Oh, no.
With their A&E show pulling 14 million viewers a week with an empire of DVDs, duck calls, and a Christmas album, too, it's no surprise GQ magazine wanted to profile the Duck Dynasty crew at home in Louisiana.
He's happy.
But the Bible-quoting patriarch of the Robertson family is raising eyebrows with his comments on homosexuality. It seems like, to me, a vagina would be more desirable than a man's anus, Phil Robertson told the magazine. Start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there. Bestiality, sleeping around with this woman and that woman and those men, it's not right.
So,
seems to me...
Did they have to run that past the...
Well, that's a weird quote to have printed up on the screen.
Yeah. Is that on his headstone?
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Coming in hot.
Yeah, that is awesome. So...
So to speak.
Phil Robertson...
Just pick which one.
Dead at the age of 79, did I get that right? I do believe.
Did he...
46, yeah.
Pass of age?
Yeah. I think he just died of death. I'm not sure he was the healthiest of guys. Didn't look like it.
He died of being a curmudgeon.
Yeah. All right. Well,
let's start with Will Connerly. Will, do you understand your position here? You have to tell us whether or not he belongs in the 3-bedroom apartment in the sky.
I do, and I'll say no.
Okay. Lando.
I will also say no.
Well, can I ask why?
They can say whatever they want.
No, I can ask why.
I think he definitely had a position in the zeitgeist, but I don't think that we should enforce bigotry. You know what I mean? I think morals has to play a part in this in some way, right?
Well,
we're not Jesus.
I just don't know that we're deciding who's perfect here.
We did throw OJ and Bob Knight into the hole.
We did.
But OJ beheaded two people.
The question is he famous enough?
Yes.
It's not, is he a good person?
If the question, then I would say yes in that case.
Okay.
Will, do you feel comfortable with your verdict either way?
I mean, he pulled all those eyeballs, so I'll go yes.
Well, wow. Again, I'm not...
You are...
I feel like I affected the jury.
You were throwing some weight around.
Well, no, I didn't mean to. I feel like when we start in there, especially with guys in different chairs than normal, we just have to remind them what the criteria is, because I don't think we're trying to decide whether they get into the pearly gates. That would be a different game.
They left their mark. And that's kind of the bottom line, whether or not they left their mark.
Because I would vote yes, even though I never watched a second, just based on the fact that he clearly mattered for like a decade. Everybody knew who he was.
Creighton?
100% yes, and so much so that they're reviving the TV. They already revived it. They already did the first episode.
Did they really?
Yeah,
with the kids?
Yeah, with everybody but him, because he died, but he was supposed to be on the
with
show.
With him?
Yeah, they had to wait.
With everybody, thank you for clarifying he's not in the new season.
They had to wait the appropriate length of time for him to be uncanceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did have to go to the penalty box for a little while.
He did. He got suspended for, I think, the whole anus thing.
Yeah.
As one would. Yeah, I'm putting him in.
I'm going to go on the record as saying no, because I hate him.
hate him.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a fan, but I'm going to throw him in there just because he did matter to so many people out there.
And Duck.
My vote doesn't count, so I'm just...
He mattered to Duck.
I'm making a symbolic vote.
And
a birthday vote.
And I apologize.
Yes, I vote pro-anus.
I apologize because I feel like I affected the game here, and I didn't mean to.
Well, yeah, it's okay. It would have been tight, and then Donovan, who's in Greece, we would have had to track him down and fly him back.
Boy, imagine when he throws down his duffel bag and his gun holster and then is welcomed by Sly Stone.
Oh, man. There could be some trouble up there in paradise.
And so Donovan is like with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. That's incredible.
The country, Greece, Bob, the country.
Oh.